16 WAAM. Bob Taylor, sometimes known as Fat Bob, used to do a midday show here. And as a matter of fact, he did that when when the Lima, Ohio people came in and bought this radio station. He came in, and that's about when I left.
I'm a human lima bean. Hey, that was Fat Bob. He's a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy. Very nice man.
He was the first man I talked about in my very first column in the Ann Arbor
News. Is that right?
My very first column.
That's been over a year now.
Bore a picture of him. Oh, yeah.
Gee whiz, It'll be two years.
It'll be 2 years in May. It's a year and a half ago I started writing this column. And they don't run pictures very often.
By the way, let me start the program off correctly. This is WAAM and the program Air Check, Art Volo, who is... very well versed in radio happenings around this this area and around the country. Seems to keep up on what's happening radio-wise around. Writes a Wednesday column in the Ann Arbor News. If you had a chance to look at it yesterday, there's some interesting things happening in this area.
They keep moving around, don't they, Jim?
Yeah. I some of these people I'm reading about now had just about as many jobs as I have, or
almost more,
which is always nice. Someone else has worked numerous places and not kept their job very long.
Yeah, well, Dave Schaefer, we talked about going over to CKLW, is going to be continuing.
That's a whole full circle for him because he was at CK in 64.
It's one of the legendary disc jockeys
Before 64.
Years ago, that's right.
He hired Tom Shannon, so if that tells you something.
And he was also the guy that gave Ed Bush a big shot, and Ed Bush, for people with real good memories, was playing rock and roll back in the mid-60s on a station called WLIN at 92.3 in Detroit.
And you know where that was?
Lincoln Park.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
And WLIN became WCAR-FM, what was it after CAR? Did it go right to
WTWR, Tower 92.
And now it's WCXI-FM. So, four sets of call letters later, the only thing that remains the same as the frequency.
Matter of fact, that station, where were they in Lincoln Park?
I think
it was licensed to Lincoln Park.
Licensed to Lincoln Park, but the studios were in a facility inside that apartment building, the
Lafayette Towers?
Lafayette Towers. At the time, it was called, though, the Lafayette Plazine, I want to say, or Plazons.
You mean
or
the
something.
Two double towers downtown Detroit,
whatever.
Their apartment buildings?
Yeah, that's where it was. Very spectacular view of the city in those days. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Ed's now doing a network talk show, I think, for golly, I wish you could remember the RKO
when
network.
My last day at Tower 92, when they changed the country, went to CXI, we played an air check from... WLIN.
From WLIN.
With Ed Bush.
I even have the old sign-off of that station on tape somewhere, a real classic. But anyway, so that's what's happening over at CKLW. Lots is going on over there. I was talking to Paul Christie about the WAVX thing. I think that you're going to see some major changes. The inside scoop now, and I can't give out my sources on this, but seem to think that WABX is going to probably go soft on us and play music somewhat similar to what we're playing here at WAAM. So it should be very interesting to see what's going to happen. We'll be following that very closely. Also, I'm going to have a column, not this coming week, but the week between Christmas and New Year's. We'll get deeper into this call letter situation that we had talked about. Also, in my column regarding a radio station's call letters and the fact that now they can apply for just about anything they want.
I think there'll be some stations just purposely causing confusion.
Well, that really seems silly, though.
I know it does, but it seems like I know of a few that would be just about right to do that.
There are some that, before the rules were changed, that I don't know how they got away with it. New Haven, Connecticut was a classic example with a radio station, but the call letters are WAVZ. And that was well within the coverage area of WABC in New York. And you would think that WABC and WAVZ would sound very much alike if you said them quickly enough. Mm-hmm. Another classic.
People don't listen that closely times.
Closer to home.
What did he say? Oh, yeah.
A television station in Toledo, which bears call letters. Of course, call letters are not primary. Channel number is primary in television. But how did WDHO, which stands for D.H. Overmeyer, who was the original owner, or maybe the still the owner, I'm not sure which, of Channel 24 in Toledo, how you can get a WDHO in the same city with a WOHO radio. And if you look from a distance and don't look close, a D and an O graphically look very close. It's hard to distinguish a capital D from a capital O. It looks very similar.
Sure, depending on what they used for the kind of lettering, too.
Exactly.
You use a modern letter, the D can look real round.
Exactly. So, yeah. So I was very surprised at that. So, like I say, lots of things are happening. I made some predictions about what's going to be happening here in Ann Arbor. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more changes out there in Lodi Township. WIQB is making, not only are they going to be bringing in a new program director, and he indicated the new PD will be coming probably from out of town, but possibly somebody from this area. I would like somebody to come in here that knows something about Ann Arbor. The only thing that bugs me about radio stations in this town, that's one of the things that's kind of nifty about what's going on here, and I don't mean to solicit this radio station because I'm on this radio station. A lot of people think that, well, he'd never say anything bad against WAAM because this is the station he's on. Now, there's a lot of things I don't like about this radio station, but there's a lot of things I do like about it.
One of the things, I think that's anybody's.
Right.
Any station has its good points and its bad points.
Right. And I'm not,
it's very positive around here. I also can say the same thing. I worked here.
That's right.
This is where I got my start. And I've worked in Detroit. Yes, I've come all the way around, and I'm back in town. As has Jimmy Barrett.
That's right.
He was here when
he
started.
And he worked in Detroit.
And he worked down in Detroit. And he worked in some other places and came back.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all Ann Arbor people now.
That's right. That's interesting.
Or Ypsilanti, at least in this area.
You're a native of Ypsilanti.
Ann Arbor. He's from Ypsilanti. You have to make that distinction.
Ypsilanti, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Ted Heisel.
You're allowed one of those per show.
Ted Heisel is forever been around here. Skip Deagle is from the area.
Ted has been forever around here.
Yes.
He was downtown
always was,
for a
always
number
shall
of years.
Be. And now that I think about it, you're absolutely right. There is a lot of local blood. Plus, of course, the ownership is local now. So this is a very localized radio station, which I think is good because you've got to know your market. I don't think these whiz kids can come in from big cities and from other parts of the country, lock themselves in a hotel room, and listen to all the stations for a couple of days and figure they know everything about the history of Ann Arbor radio. I myself have been following it for the 20-some-odd years, and they have been really odd. I've been in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of things tried. I've seen radio stations rise and fall. I've seen formats change, and more people go through the doors of our local stations than I can, you know, would fill the Dead Sea Scroll. So I just don't know where it's all coming, but it should be very interesting.
One thing that's very interesting to consider is when you read, if you read the Detroit News or the Free Press or anything, and you read about radio happenings in Detroit and these big personalities that make the $100,000 a year, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring in a consultant, and they consult a new format, and like you said, they whiz kids from out of town, they lock in a room. You may be able to get away with it in a big market, but in a local area, when you have local people on in the stores, and you have community involvement, in a market size like in Ann Arbor, you can't get away with having somebody from out of town saying, this is what will work here, and this is what won't. Because you have to be from here, you have to keep contact with your community. If you expect to get any advertisers, number one, if you expect to have a good sound, obviously, you can do a lot of things. A lot of people from out of town could come in and make a station sound good.
Sure.
But is it believable? Is it local? Is it relatable to the people? I mean, because when you think about it, in Ann Arbor, you can listen to any number of stations from Detroit.
Yes.
From Lansing, you can get, if you live on the right side of town. You can get stations from Toledo.
Sure.
You can get stations from, you can get a few from Flint or the Pontiac area or anything. And if you really, the only difference is in Ann Arbor that's unique from so many places is we are in the Detroit television market.
Mm-hmm.
And we can watch all the Detroit stations, and we're definitely in the middle of the Detroit radio market. Just about all the stations in Detroit you can get very well out here.
Very different.
But so why would you listen to an Ann Arbor radio station?
Well, basically,
it has to be local.
That's right.
It has to be worth you listening to.
For the things you're not going to hear in Detroit, and I might add that
the local news, the local sports, the coverage of the community events.
I was just listening. I just caught Rick Van Gill, who does the afternoon show down in Toledo on WIOT, for the second time sent out a dedication or a request for somebody listening in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Is that
right? He says, yeah, this goes up north. This dedication or this request comes from way up in Ypsilanti, Michigan. I'm thinking, if you got quite a signal up here, gang, but you better learn how to spell
Ypsilanti. I know somebody that says Ypsilanti.
Well, if the guy was, in Cleveland or Cincinnati, Cincinnati or someplace far away, I might be able to understand that. But Toledo ain't that far away, and you better know how to pronounce the names of towns. You're not going to say this goes out to Typhon, Ohio. I mean,
well, as a matter of fact, from
Typhon, everybody knows.
Well, when I used to commute to Detroit, as a matter of fact, when I was out of work for a while, I was considering going to Toledo, and I had some interviews in a couple of stations that were interested, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out driving, it was 3 miles farther to two of my interviews in Toledo than it was for me to drive to Detroit.
Yeah, and everybody thinks it's so far away. It's another state. It's not far at all. In many respects, it's closer.
Tell you what, we got to do a couple of commercial announcements,
and we'll be back. I've got a special song.
Okay.
Success runs in the family. First Hewlett-Packard gave you the HP-41CV. NASA liked it so much it was sent into space with the astronauts. And now there's the HP-41CX. Expandable, versatile, reliable, this brand new edition of an all-time favorite has over 200 functions. These advanced calculators deliver solid professional performance. And with thousands of available pre-written software programs, you save time, money, and energy. See the HP-41 today at Ulrich's Electronics on South University, Ann Arbor.
Pickway Shoe Mart brightens the holiday season with footwear to fit your family's winter and holiday needs. Warm waterproof boots for outdoor activities. The newest dress shoe fashions for festive holiday gatherings. And choose from such popular gifts as Western-style boots, cozy animal slippers, and fashion handbags. All at Pickway's money-saving prices. MasterCard and Visa welcome.
You buy smart at Pickway Shoe Mart. You buy smart at Pickway.
4563 Washtenaw.
Hey, where's everybody going?
Linens and Things. Linens and Things.
It's what everybody's been waiting for. Linens and Things, the biggest name in linens and domestics, now in Ann Arbor. Come to the grand opening celebration of Linens and Things in Arborland Consumer Mall next to Marshall's on Washtenaw Avenue. Discover unmatched quality and savings with the widest selection of designer towels, sheets, comforters, bedspreads, shower curtains, tablecloths, with all the famous names. Springmaid, Fieldcrest, Wamsutta, Martex, J.P. Stevens, and more.
Linens and Things, Linens and Things.
And every day at Linens and Things, you'll save at least 20 to 40% off nationally advertised prices. So come over to the grand opening celebration of Linens and Things in Arborland Consumer Mall next to Marshall's on Washtenaw Avenue in Ann Arbor. Open all year round, 7 days a week. Linens and Things, the perfect way to dress up all the rooms in your home.
Linens and Things, Linens and Things.
Radio 16 WAAM, we'll wrap up the program with a record. Art brought in an old VJ 45, an old Four Seasons Christmas song. I haven't seen this in years and years.
Actually, it was a double-sided hit because the other side is a real hot version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah,
which was the more played side, but this was like maybe the B-side of the record, and I think it's the neat side, and it's called Christmas Tears, 1973. It would be about 20 years ago.
Oh, 63.
63,
there
yeah.
You go.
About 20 years ago. This song.
Remember when you were in high school, right?
Right.
Christmas tears will decorate my tree. There'll be no shiny tinsel, no sparkling lights to see. Icicles within my heart will come, 'cause your arms aren't around me to make my Christmas warm. Oh, how I'll cry when they play
Silent Night.
When I wake up in the morning, my Christmas won't be white. Jingle bells have rung for many years, but this season without you, I'll cry my Christmas tears.
Ah.
song.
Four Seasons and Christmas Tears. Boy, that's an oldie. You got more of those?
Oh, yeah. I got
Do you really?
Yeah.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what we ought to do is we ought to get together sometime on lunchtime at the oldies and play old Christmas songs. I mean, the old ones. Like,
yes.
We've got quite a few. I mean, you know. You
Just don't play
you
the barking
the
dogs. I don't want to hear the barking
don't
dogs.
Worry,
all right?
Don't worry.
Anyway, next week.
I think we broke that in half.
Next week, we're going to.
I haven't seen it in
about
a year.
If we can tease, I do love to tease. We may have a special guest next week, just before Christmas.
Okay.
And then the week between Christmas and New Year's, I may be out of town, so wherever I am, I'll call you.
Yeah.
I'll call you up, and I won't forget.
Don't you forget.
I will not forget. Okay.
You give me your phone number where you'll be on that day, buddy.
I will.
I'll call you if you don't call me. Come on. I can find you in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, but that's all right. Well, it's 2 o'clock now.
A lot of people have been lost in New Jersey.
Yeah, what a place to go, huh? Well, anyway, it's 2 o'clock now. This is the Whitehall Broadcasting Company, Radio 16 WAAM, Ann Arbor.
WAAM News Time, just past 2 o'clock. 29 degrees and cloudy skies across Washtenaw County. Good afternoon. I'm John Hoffman. 6 Eastern Michigan University football players are free now on personal recognizance bond after being arraigned this morning on charges of breaking and entering and theft of athletic equipment. The 6 appeared in Washtenaw County's 14th District Court before Judge Robert Fink. He delayed their pleas to next week. Eastern Michigan University spokesperson Kathy Tenney says the university signed a complaint against the 6 yesterday, alleging they stole or destroyed athletic equipment and damaged a locker room at EMU's Reinierson Stadium between 1981 and last month. Dean of Students Betty White has recommended that 5 of those 6 players be expelled from school. A 34-year-old Ypsilanti Township man faces sentencing on January 19th for his conviction this week on a charge of first-degree felony murder. James Edwards was found guilty in circuit court Wednesday for the October 1982 shooting of Warren Paul McIntyre, the night manager of the Roundhouse Pizza Shop.